Hello, and welcome to the Picture Show Hiatus Spectacular. My name is Phil Rood, and I am the dad.
And I'm Austin Rood, and I'm the son, and we're
on hiatus.
We're on vacation. Yeah.
It's, we thought we'd check in with our people.
That's right.
Our constituents, if you will. And, we had a couple weeks off of work. And,
that's right.
You know, we thought we'd catch you up on what we've been up to and what we've been watching and discuss a little bit of that. And you all can sit in on this. You want to kick it off? Because, I mean, well, first of all, let me just say, some of these movies I have been waiting to talk to you about, and I have specifically not spoken to you. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
Well,
until just a couple days ago. So,
I just want to address the fact
that I have been saving it for this.
We take a break from watching movies to talk about them to watching movies on break and then talking about
them. And then wanting to talk about them and going, oh no, this would be great for the show. But
we might have a podcasting addiction, but,
you know, it's worth
happy to
about.
Be here. Yeah. Anyway. So I went away for our vacation, so you didn't see me.
When you say I went away, it makes it sound like we had you committed or,
that's right.
You know,
a little grippy socks vacation.
We had you sent to conversion camp.
Oh gosh.
To Mike Pence summer camp.
That's right. I met him. A lovely fellow. Him and mother were so kind to me.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
I went up to Canada to see my boyfriend.
Yes.
Who is now my fiance.
Hey, congratulations.
There it is. Listen closely and you can hear the weight of the ring on my finger.
Oh my God. The crystal frequency. It's throwing the mic off.
That's right. but yes, I proposed to my fiance and he had a ring for me as well. So
mutual,
we both have rings.
Mutual proposal.
That's right.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
But the highlight of the trip really was the movies that we watched.
I mean,
and funnily enough, you and I watched a lot of the same movies around this kind of time.
I was getting caught up on a lot of 2022 movies,
yeah.
Actually. But yeah, you also saw like Cirque du Soleil up there, correct?
I did. Yeah. I currently cannot remember the name of the show, which is a bit embarrassing.
Was it in French?
It was French and English, and sometimes the clowns have made up languages. But this was a story that was like the death of a clown, and kind of like a tribute to him. And like, it's an imaginary clown, but
right.
The fictional story, but it's really cool about this clown's life. And
I've never seen a Cirque du Soleil show. I would like to, but I know you guys have been a couple of times.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's so kind of a little abstract with, like, yeah. There are story beats, but then you kind of, like, piece together between performances.
I get the concept of it. It's almost
it's a fun show.
Art installation kind of thing with acrobats. Yeah.
And we watched, and it was, like, a traveling show, and this was in a hockey arena.
Right.
And they had put, like, a circular stage. Like, there were two audience sides.
Okay. So it's in the round, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Nice.
I don't know what movies to start with.
Well, I have, since we're doing personal news, we had a little bit of news dropped on us. We will be gaining a son-in-law in Junior. We're very happy about that. We've only met Junior a handful of times. He's a great guy. I'm really happy for both of you and really happy to welcome him into our family.
Thank you.
And also, my wife. your mother and I will be welcoming our first grandchild to the family this coming year. So
that's right.
For those of you who have not seen me crowing about it, I've been mostly off social media, but I had to jump on to crow about how happy I am to be becoming a grandpa. I will be a grandpa later this year.
It's really exciting.
You'll be an uncle. It's a lot of great news for our family. This last few months, there's been a lot of new careers new jobs, new training for new careers,
new growth.
And yes, I feel like our family has taken a lot of moving forward in the last couple. A lot of bars are being hit, graduations, and you know, Logan became an EMT, and you're getting engaged, and Lane is becoming we have new jobs for my wife and I, and just some big milestones on it. And this is very personal, I know, isn't as exciting to everybody else, but we are hitting some really big milestones in the last year or two, and are continuing to move forward, and it's just very exciting.
I just want to clarify that this is your first human grandchild.
Yeah,
because
George,
I do have a son. That is
true. The
George fur, the cat.
The fur grandbaby, George Catstanza. And
he annoys us very much.
Yes. Looking forward to a human grandchild. Anyway, let's just run down some of the movies that were highlights for us.
Okay.
That we saw. And then we'll kind of double back and talk about some of them.
All right. Can I start with things that were in the theater? Because I watched two of them.
Sure. I have not made it to the theater. I know one of your recommendations came very highly, and I still have not made it to go see it.
Yes. You're talking about Babylon. Which I saw. Was not expecting to see. Kind of a spur of the moment thing.
Sure.
And it was so good. I can't even describe it. Just go see it. And then I also saw Avatar 2, which I have mixed feelings about. I did.
Wow.
My friend wanted to see it before I left for my trip. And I liked the first one. I have some issues with the whole Pocahontas story. But
I
like the sci-fi fantasy aspect of this universe. Yeah. And I also like kind of this is a family story. And I ended up enjoying Avatar 2 more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
And so that's my take out of like all of the memes that still have been thrown. And
is it still Papyrus?
It is still, it's very similar.
One of the great SNL short films.
I love that.
it's Ryan Gosling.
I know what you did.
They can fix it with the sequels. It looks the same.
It's a really good SNL sketch.
That's really interesting because, look, I know everybody piles on Avatar. I have not seen Avatar in years.
I honestly watched a short recap of the film on YouTube because I didn't remember the plot of the movie.
I think Avatar is a perfectly fine movie. And for me, I think it was a great theater experience. I think it was one of the few movies where I think 3D really serviced it. It on a big screen. It was real. I remember having a lot of fun seeing that movie in the theater. And then I remember watching it at home and going, oh, this really kind of depends on being in a theater.
It kind of sucks on cable.
I didn't think it sucked. I never thought that movie sucked. I just think I think that movie suffers from being so overhyped. And then people went and revisited it and were like, oh, we really overshot this. And part of that, I think, had to do with the theater experience. All these sequels that, you know, I know the jokes. I've said it 100 times. Nobody's asked for these. Nobody wants these. James Cameron just wants to make it. And honestly, as someone who makes things, I say, good on you.
That's kind make of a the cool thing passion
that you,
project.
Make the thing that you want to make, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't think these sequels are going to be bad. I just have no interest in really seeing them. I don't think they're going to be outstanding and change the world or anything, but
that's,
you know,
fair.
If Cameron wants to make these, go have fun making your little Smurf movies, you know, like
good on you.
Honestly, yeah, I'm just surprised that you saw it. I think you might be the first person I've talked to that has actually seen Avatar 2.
I'm just really trying to help them break even. They're struggling financially.
Honestly, that's a really expensive movie.
I marked it down as a donation to charity on my taxes this
year. Yeah, you gotta get the write-off for that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But that's all the movies I saw in theaters.
Okay. Anything else you want to... I don't have a theater component. It was just anything else. Okay. Any other mentions? Did you and Junior watch anything when you were up there besides Babylon?
A few things. We watched Glass Onion, mm-hmm. which I saw for the second time.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Glass Onion.
Good. I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
And I also saw Nope before I left on my trip.
I watched Nope. I watched both of these over break as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then I rewatched Get Out with Junior. Okay. So that was cool to go back and see his first film and knowing the twist as well.
And that actor's first film, Daniel Kaluuya? Is that...
Was that his first film?
Or his first film with Jordan Peele.
Okay.
Where they were in... They did
their
those,
first team up kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, and then he plays OJ in Nope.
Yeah. And then we also watched Fiddler on the Roof Act 1. We ended up going to bed before during the intermission. There's multiple versions.
I don't know. I only know of the one.
I'm not sure.
From like the 60s or 70s?
Yeah, that seems okay. about right for what
I've never watching. Seen it, but my mom had the soundtrack of a record when I was growing up. So,
It surprised me with how good it was. So I'm looking forward to finishing that. But yeah, that's all I've got.
Cool.
What did you have?
You kind of went over them. Knives Out, and we raided your DVD collection.
Oh, did you?
To watch Knives Out.
Oh.
Before we watched Glass Onion. Mom hadn't seen Knives Out.
She hadn't
out
seen
yet.
The first one?
No.
Okay.
She might have it. You know, movie amnesia.
Well, you know how she is.
My wife has movie amnesia. She watches a movie. She forgets she watched
about it instantly.
And if I go, okay, we'll watch it again. And then halfway through, she'll go, oh, I remember this now.
Yeah.
But no, she hadn't seen Knives Out, so we watched that. And then we watched Glass Onion, but we were initially going to watch it like the next day, and then we, you know, ended up just watching it like earlier this week.
All right.
I watched Nope also. That was my last movie of the year. I closed out 2022 with it. And honestly, in, picking my favorite movie of 2022, it is this. And another movie that I watched right at the end. Maybe it's recency bias. It's hard to pick just one. I think it kind of depends on what mood I'm in when you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But it is either Nope or it is Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Which is an absolutely unfucking believably beautiful movie. It is so, at the risk of sounding overly theatrical, magical. It is a great great movie.
I'm disappointed in myself.
It's a Netflix film. It'll be there.
I will watch it when I have
some time for it. It is a little bit long. I think it could have stood to be just a little bit shorter, but it really is so enjoyable. It's almost a musical. It's a fairy tale. It's dark. It's adapted to hit some themes that are a little more relevant today, and themes that Del Toro talks about a lot. And it's a very anti-fascist movie. And it's just a really beautiful kind of old timey stop motion movie. And there is a making of feature also on Netflix. That's like a half hour.
Really?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Everything about this sounds perfect.
It really is. Like, if you like Del Toro to begin with, you're going to dig this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it is, I think you can watch it with your kids. It's a little bit dark. Know your kids and preview it if you have any question about, like, young kids.
Okay.
But I think it's a really great movie. There's a great voice cast in it. Ewan McGregor is Sebastian Cricket. He's not Jiminy Cricket. Is really great. There's just so much to love in that movie. And Nope, I thought, is a just unbelievably cool blending of genres and then subverting those genres. It's horror, it's sci-fi, it's westerns. Put it in a blender, and then he's like, okay, all these tropes of all these that I've shown you, fuck it. All out the window, and we're turning everything on its ear. And I think Nope is probably my favorite Jordan Peele movie. I think it's... I did not expect that much brilliance out of that movie. I really loved it. I thought it was...
I'm still putting together the pieces of it.
Yes. Like... There's so much... there's so many layers to it, and so many weird flashbacks, and the monkey on the TV show. The chimp.
Oh my gosh.
The cinematographer who comes out to film, mm-hmm. and he just I love when he does he recites the Purple People Eater lyrics. I'm just like, oh my god, this is so brilliantly written, and I loved it. Loved Nope. Such a fun horror movie, sci-fi movie, and Western. I think it's all three of these things and done just incredibly well.
Yeah. I don't know what to say other than, like, there's a really strong connection between the chimp story, yes. And the alien. Like, I feel like they're the same. Like, they're exploited for... you think you can control it. You're trying to get a performance.
Yes.
And it comes back to bite you. And this whole thing, like...
There's a real theme about, you know, the hubris of thinking you can control an animal. And yeah. Animals in show business. The historical fact about, like, the first stunt on film. And how it's this important piece of Black history and film history. And really, like, and this long tradition this family has of, like, having show business animals, you know, yeah. And that they're hurting in this new Hollywood climate. And these are all genres that have some kind of fallen out of favor that were also one time really popular. And there's just so much going on. I think it's... not to throw shade on any of his other work, but, like, I think it's his smartest script. And
it's just, like, his masterpiece.
It kind of is, like, the culmination of everything he's done so far. And I think Jordan Peele is one of the most interesting filmmakers working today. Like, mm-hmm. I think he's really making interesting movies that have something to say and are still, like, genre pieces. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they always have a feel to them.
Yes.
Which I still haven't seen Us, and I do want to see that movie.
I want to revisit Us, because I feel like there's more layers of that to pick apart than I got on the single viewing that I've had of it as well.
But that being said, I hope he tops Nope.
Oh, like, so do I.
His next film, like, I feel like with each movie he puts out, like, the expectations for him are gonna get higher and higher.
I feel like he has a really good track record, and I don't think he could have easily fallen into that thing of, like, M. Night Shyamalan,
mm-hmm.
you know, where his first movie was so incredible and such a game changer and so full of great twists and so well written, and then his second one kind of wasn't quite that, but was still good. And people at that point kind of wrote off M. Night Shyamalan, which is a shame, because I think he had a lot of good movies left in him. And some of his stuff, even, I've been meaning to do an episode on Old.
Really?
Just a talk about, not a full episode, just my thoughts about Old. Okay. And that I think there's a lot of value in what M. Night Shyamalan is doing, because a lot of Old doesn't work, but Old is also, I think, really interesting. And I think M. Night Shyamalan is still making really interesting movies, even if they aren't always executing really well. And I think writing him off is a huge mistake, because I think he's a really interesting filmmaker.
I think he's inconsistent, and, like, everyone kind of just...
He is inconsistent, but I think he's a lot better than he gets credit mm-hmm. for being.
I'm excited. A lot
smarter for than he gets credit for being as well.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to his new movie, the Cabin in the Woods, I think is the a knock on the Cabin in the Woods or something.
Really?
Yeah, it's got I'm blanking on his name now. The guy from Knives Out or from Glass Onion. The big buff dude.
Oh, Dave Bautista?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Dave Bautista.
He's got him in there. Him and then a few other actors, but him and his husband and their child are like in the woods, and then there's like people trying to kill them or something. Like,
wait, Dave Bautista can't be gay, right?
And I think,
dude, what is this world come? No, I'm just joking. I actually saw a TikTok video of an interview with Dave Bautista. It's like a Vanity Fair or something like that.
Yeah,
and so they asked him about like some tattoo he had, and he goes, "Oh, that's a cover up." He's like, "This was for like a team. I was a teammate of somebody, and I got like the team tattoo." And then this guy made some really terrible homophobic remarks, and I got it covered up, and he's like, my mom's a lesbian, and I'm like,
oh, wow,
pro LGBT, and this guy showed me who he was, and it was just sort of like, it was like this really, like this guy that I already like because, against all the odds, he's like a really good actor,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And a likable person.
And now it's like, oh yeah, and like you honestly put your money where your mouth is, and you're, you know, making sure you're surrounded by like good people, like, or not hateful people.
It's
or
like
whatever.
A baller move.
Yeah. But yeah, I like Dave Bautista. This would be a good segue into Glass Onion.
Hey, look how smoothly I did that. Yeah, I wasn't even planning.
Look at that. But yeah, I think he's in Dune.
He is, yeah.
And he's also in another Villeneuve movie. He's in Blade Runner 2049 for like 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, he almost steals the entire movie. Like
I didn't even know he was in that.
He's this really like quiet, subtle performance. And it's just sort of like this thing of like, you know, how hard is it to emote without a lot of dialogue or in a real quiet way, and he manages to do that. That's something like seasoned actors, I think, struggle with. I think Dave Bautista is like a legit actor, and I'm glad that he's, you know, he's coming out of like Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's kind of in these interviews, he's catching some shit for saying, I'm glad to be done with this, because what he's saying is like, this was good to me and this was fun, but I'm glad to be done with it and moving on and getting other opportunities.
Yeah.
And people are kind of taking...
He wants more serious, kind of interesting roles.
Yeah. He's working with these great directors. He's working with Sam Mendes. He's in a Bond movie with Sam Mendes directed. He's working with Villeneuve, you know, Rian Johnson. He's doing all this really great work and getting these opportunities to go out and really act and not wear, like, you know, alien makeup and just be forced to do this typecast kind of superhero role. You know, I like that he's out there doing this.
Working for a big company like Marvel, like, you end up kind of having to, oh, I can't take that role. I'm scheduled at this time in my contract.
Right.
Frees up more opportunities.
Yeah, they kind of own your contract for a while. Yeah, but like, no, I think Bautista's good, and I think he's pretty good in Glass Onion.
He is, as is everyone in Glass Onion. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, because you already know, but I guess I should tell the audience.
Yeah, go ahead. You go first.
I love this movie. Okay. I went to the theatrical release. It was limited in some theaters.
Right.
There was one close enough to us, so me and my friend went. And
Austin, who are you wearing? Oh my god, this is red. You make it sound like a red carpet event.
They invited me to Hollywood. I was busy, so I declined.
Who is that guy?
Local man, Florida man, stumbles onto the red carpet. Anyway, me and Alexis had seen Knives Out in theaters.
Sure.
And so when I heard that Netflix was making sequels, I was like really worried that I wouldn't be able to see it in theaters with her. But we got to go see it. And then now I saw it a second time when it came onto Netflix. And I don't know how to... It lives up to the first movie while being a completely different movie, mm-hmm. in a way. And I really like it. I think parts of it are clever. Parts of it are dumb. Right. And it's fun. So I like the Knives Out... cinematic universe, and yeah. I hope it continues.
Yes,
the Benoit Blanc. I think it should be Benoit Blanc Mysteries.
I think it should too. I think that name is too difficult for Americans, and I think yes. they realize that too late.
Exactly. Yeah. But they could have gone back. Knives Out, a Benoit Blanc Mystery.
You know, like they did with Star Wars, where they went back and just like renamed it. Like they did all that. They do it with the. Because I own a newer version of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it's Indiana Jones and the later Raiders of the Lost. Because that was never intended to be a series. It was just a movie that came out. And then when much like I think Knives Out ended up being.
Yeah. So then when you make a sequel.
When you make a sequel, it's like, you know, you
change the rules a little bit. Retroactively
have to go back and do this. Yes.
But yeah. 10 out of 10 movie.
Wow.
That's all I got. What
high praise.
I think it deserves it. I can tell from your face. No, we're gonna differ.
I'm just trying to think how to segue into this because everybody's first reaction to this is going to be Phil didn't like this movie. And I am going to tell you right up front, that is not the case. I did like this movie. I don't think it's quite living up to the hype that I'm hearing for it. I think this isn't as good as Knives Out. And I don't think it's quite as clever as Rian Johnson wants you to think it is. I think it's okay. A little bit hollow and a little bit contrived. I think there's a great cast. I think this movie is a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking any of that away from it. But I think this movie points out to me what the big problem with Rian Johnson is. And that is when he's making something original, there are no expectations for him to meet. And he just makes his thing and he puts it out there. When he's making a sequel, The Last Jedi, Glass Onion, he is making it to fit the expectations that people have. He's either trying to top something previous, mm-hmm. or he's trying to blow people's minds. And like the parts of The Last Jedi that are interesting are great. The rest of it is kind of a garbage movie.
I'm not going to accept that.
There's about half of The Last Jedi that is, I'm not going to call it unwatchable. It's really hard to get through, though.
It's got some fat.
It's got a lot of fat. It needs to be
trimmed, but...
And I feel like Glass Onion is him trying to... now Benoit Blanc is a thing. So now I'm going to make him this quirky Sherlock Holmes kind of character. right down to having a maybe gay personal assistant... I love that part.
He has a male roommate.
I love the nod to Watson that Hugh Grant is in this movie.
I honestly never even connected that.
Yes, I think I love because he calls him Blanc. He doesn't call him Benoit. He does it just the way Watson is with Holmes, but also there's the Watson and Holmes long theorized idea that they were gay. And I love that that is Hugh Grant's role in here. I love that it's Hugh Grant too. Like, mm-hmm. like this legit big star.
Married to James Bond.
Who's in the movie for 10 seconds. Yes, I think that was really clever. I think that was a great part of it. I love that. I love the cast. I love that Kate Hudson is in. I haven't seen Kate Hudson in a long time, and I love her from back in like the Almost Famous days before she started doing terrible romantic comedies. Everybody thought Kate Hudson was going to be like the next big actress.
Right.
And then she just started doing rom-coms with Matthew McConaughey.
I know her name, but I don't know much about her. So,
Batista, Edward Norton's great. You know, like we've seen him on our very first movie, you know, in Fight Club. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, Catherine Hahn, everybody loves her now, but she's been around for like years doing, you know, what was it? WandaVision? Was that the thing everybody was like?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh man, this woman came out of nowhere. It's like, no, Catherine Hahn's been around forever. Like,
see, I know her from Parks and Rec, and I think she was in The Office at one bit, but she might not have been. I don't know. But she was definitely a reoccurring character as the, political manager, like a campaign manager.
Okay, yes.
On Parks and Rec.
Okay, I remember
her
on there now.
She's so funny. Like, she is one of the funniest characters on that show.
But I just, my overall thoughts about it, and also, like, the idea of, like, oh, I have a new magic super fuel. Like, this is, like, these sci-fi elements coming into it. I'm just like, you know, like, this isn't grounded in the way that Knives Out was, where it was just a rich family of a successful mystery writer fighting over his fortune. Mm-hmm. And like that was a classic mystery setup, and now it's like, oh, because I have new rocket fuel. And it just sort of was like, okay, this is getting a little more contrived. It's not that I hated that. It's not that anything threw this off of being an enjoyable movie. I just think that Rian Johnson is at his best when he is making something absolutely from whole cloth and building it from the ground up with no... I mean, this is because he was an indie filmmaker for so long. He made movies without any expectation of, like, actual success. He made Brick, and Brick is an unbelievably cool movie. I love it. Looper. Freaking awesome movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But these movies only found like cult audiences. You know what I mean? Like they didn't have this huge success that, okay, now you have to build a whole world out of this. And I think like the idea of like, oh, I have to build this sequel now. So now I have to like, start bending a character I've already established in this other different way. And it's, I even liked what they did with him. It just didn't quite feel like the same character. Felt like
I
more
get
of
what
an,
you're saying.
He
yeah.
felt like more of an idiot. And it's like, he is kind of an idiot in Knives Out, but he's, I don't know. It's not, he's not such a clown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's cartoonification.
Yes.
It's the Ned Flanders syndrome.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it, where they
take
it.
That's not my idea. That's, I think someone else has used that term.
So over the top that it, you know, he's like wearing his weird beach wear with an ascot, and it's just, it's funny. It's, I get, he's eccentric. That's what they're trying to portray.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like that's who he necessarily was in the first movie.
It wasn't fully shown in the first movie. I think I agree with you on the point of like this is not as original, because I think what happened is he kind of dissected the first movie, which was built on like a couple really great ideas that all meshed together, and then he turned that into like a formula of like, you know, thematically, the first movie is about immigration, land rights. Like, it's got all these topics in there mixed
in. Inherited wealth and a lot of, yes.
Yes. And I feel like this movie is about Elon Musk and the wealthy elite. And
it's about the tech billionaire in general. As Edward Norton, I did see an interview clip where he was like, we filmed this 2 years ago. This isn't, you know, it's about Musk,
yeah.
But it's more generally about tech billionaires. And guess
that's
what?
That's why there's no joke about buying Twitter.
Right.
There. Like,
guess what? They're all idiots. You know, they're all, you know, like.
And that's kind of the point of this movie.
Yes.
And, but people have pointed out, like there's a structure, kind of like the MCU has a structure. Like, he almost took that first movie and he turned it into a structure that I presume is going to just go up throughout, like, right. pick a theme, kind of a topic, and then, like, new kind of setting.
I mean, it's the Poirot formula.
Yeah.
All of it is...
But he's telling these stories from, like, the main character's always, like, an immigrant or a poor Alabama woman. Centering of almost political ideas. I don't want to call them political, but, like, the themes are about people's struggles.
The themes are about, like, outcasts. And, like, if you watch the Honest trailer for Glass Onion.
I already have.
And they talk about, like, oh, so the murdered sister was, like, the evil twin? And she didn't, like...
didn't share any of her wealth.
Her sister is still, like, a poor school teacher. she refused... she was against the company going into, like, clean energy, and she was just like a crypto bro, basically. And it's just sort of like, oh yeah, 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 she is kind of the
villain.
She is kind of the shady sister, isn't she? But yeah, like, there's I don't remember her name in the first movie, the main character,
Moira,
right? And yeah, the sort of the victim, the I don't know what you want to call it. It's not like the femme fatale. It's not like a noir movie, but it's sort of like the client kind of thing,
right?
Where they're trying to bring you sympathy on them, and I feel like, again, it's just something that I think Knives Out did so much better. Mm-hmm. Because they show you that relationship right up front. They show you these kinds of, you know, the relationship she had with Christopher Plummer and, you know, leading up to his death. And I just feel like that came either too late here or we didn't get enough of it. I don't know. I didn't feel the same. I didn't feel as invested.
Mm-hmm.
As I do when I watch Knives Out.
Well, Rian Johnson actually said, like, in an interview that the plot of this movie is very stupid in his mind. He thinks it relies too heavily on dumb tropes that no one would believe. I think it totally does. But he hoped that people could see past that because it wasn't, like, the big plot twist. It came in the midway.
Right.
But that meant that we weren't introduced to, like, the main character. Like, that's why we focus so much on Blanc in the first bit, as a viewer, right. Because she hasn't been introduced yet. Our main character, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, there's
so,
a...
So that's why I feel like we don't connect with her as much.
There's a lot of, I think, structural issues, I think, with this movie as well. And just, you know, like the sort of... I saw a clip of a guy talking about, you know, for a movie like this to work, once the reveal comes at the end, everything... When you look back at the movie, everything has to make sense. Mm-hmm. And if you just go back to the idea that, like, the greatest detective in the world shows up unannounced on your island after you've murdered somebody and the person you murdered shows up and you just carry on like everything's cool. Like, none of that really makes sense, even for a egotistical billionaire. Like, and I saw the comments were kind of like, no, that's the point. And I'm like, no, I think I'm on his side on this. There's a lot. I think there's just... I think the connections, they're all there. Everything's connected in this plot. I just think it's weaker. And it sort of asks you to shrug off some things that don't really make sense. A little more than, like, Knives Out did. So for me, yeah. it's just a weaker entry. But it is a fun movie. Like, I really had fun watching it. I'm like, I was saying, the cast, you're going to have fun with this cast. Like, Dave Bautista as the, like, Andrew Tate kind of...
He's shooting his gun in the pool. And
or Joe Rogan, I guess, might be a better description.
I apologize for liking boobs. Like,
eat it, feminists, you know, like his girlfriend. But I think they're all a lot of fun. And I think this movie's a lot of fun. And I do think the shots he takes at tech billionaires, they're cheap, they're obvious, but they're funny. Like, he has a doc that doesn't work. He uses the wrong words all the time. Like, it's just like, yes, this is all of these idiots who think they're the smartest guy in the room. And really, everybody's laughing at them.
For me, it's the scene where they're like, we're disruptors. Yeah. And he tries to explain what that means. And it's like, but you are the system. You're, right, like, in control, and you're setting all the rules and taking all these stupid risks. Right. Like, you're the problem.
You are exactly. It's done a little better in, like, Succession, but that's just a completely different tone, where, like, the oldest son, you know, he's supposed to take the fall for something, and instead he throws his dad under the bus, and he's, like, running around telling everybody, we're starting a revolution, and he's this corporate billionaire. Like, he's, you know, and everybody's just sort of like, are you serious? Like, you are the exact system. Like, you're not your father. You're not the CEO of this company, but you are the problem. Like, it's just sort of like this obliviousness to what the problem is.
Right, exactly.
And I think there's a real straightforward commentary on that. And I think that's, you know, Rian Johnson criticizes the rich a lot, and it's one of those things where he's getting so successful as a filmmaker where you are starting to go,
buddy, careful.
You do understand, like, you're reaching the nexus point or something like that. But no, I like Rian Johnson. Again, I like his older stuff better. But
I do agree with you that I think Knives Out is a better film. It's more original, and he's more free to do stuff in an original thing. And he's gonna make more of these movies. Like,
I think so. And I'll watch them. I'm not sitting here trying to tear this down.
But he's always going to have to build them in this, like, confined environment that he's created for himself, and he's able to alter that however he wants.
Well, and
but there is going to be a formula.
It's an old formula, too. It's the Agatha Christie formula. I think this one leans a little more towards Sherlock Holmes than Agatha Christie, just because I think they're making him more of a Holmes character.
Yeah.
You know, but it is sort of just a revitalization of these old detective stories, which, when we talked about Death on the Nile, like,
and I think those are great.
I think they're fun. These are fun movies, and I'm glad he's making them. So before everybody's like, oh, Phil hates everything. No, I really liked this movie. I just think it's of all the love I've seen it getting, and I'm glad people are enjoying it. I don't think, like, this isn't my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
And even in, I made a short list of, like, what I consider to be, like, the auteur or kind of experimental movies that I saw this year. And that would be, like, Del Toro's Pinocchio, Nope, Glass Onion, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Baz Luhrmann's Elvis, honestly. And out of those five, I think I liked Glass Onion the least. That's not to say I didn't like it. These are other movies that I found took more chances and were a little more interesting. Elvis is, I know Elvis is kind of a divisive movie because he was a divisive historical figure, but Elvis is a really interesting artistic movie. It is not a biopic. It is not historically accurate, but it's a really, really interesting movie that I think I had a lot of, thoughts about watching. And I think some of these movies challenge me a little bit more. Everything Everywhere All at Once was unlike anything I've ever seen.
My God. I'm so glad that it's getting, like, the recognition.
So nice. That movie really took off in a way I think nobody really expected. And
it really connected with people.
It really did.
I feel like everyone is, like,
everyone's burned themselves out on one end of that spectrum or the other. And I think everyone found something to connect to in that movie. And Glass Onion was so much fun, but like, it's just sort of like, and I put that as an auteur movie because I think Rian Johnson is an auteur filmmaker. I think he writes, he directs, he controls so much of what he makes.
And I do think that it's directed so well.
It really is.
It's such a fun movie. Like, it's energetic. It's,
there's a lot of energy in this movie, and there's a lot of moving parts.
Your eyes are always busy. There's always something.
That is the thing I liked going into this is, like, it is telling you, right, you know what this movie is. You've seen Knives Out. You know what the formula is. So it does keep your mind busy. You are trying to pick up every detail of every scene because you think it's going to be a clue.
Important.
We all want to be Benoit Blanc solving the mystery game right away, like ruining the fun for everybody. Like, it is, but that part was really, really funny, yes. Actually.
But just like Benoit Blanc, when it comes to the actual real important mystery, we don't really solve it. It kind of just solves itself.
It just kind of works itself out. Yeah. And then it just becomes about destroying the world's most famous painting.
Yes.
But
which is a symbol of something.
I think the commoditization of art to the point where nothing means anything.
There's a famous abstract painting in the background of the movie that's like blue and red paint, but it's upside down.
Oh, okay.
It's hung upside down because he doesn't know.
He doesn't know which way it goes. Yeah.
There's a lot of really clever things like that.
I did watch Ex Machina on...
okay. That's a good one.
Science Fiction Day, which was, I think, January 2nd or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of similar things in there where this time watching it... we watched that for the show, right?
Yeah, we did.
Like, real early.
Yeah. And Oscar Isaac's the guy in that, right?
Yeah. And I'm blanking on his name. I'll think of it. Anyway, he plays the kid in that.
Yeah, I just.
But he plays, like, General Hux in the new Star Wars movies.
Oh. Yeah. There's people in the movie.
Domhnall Gleeson. That's it.
There.
But there's a lot that I picked up this time in that where you kind of start to think Oscar Isaac is a fraud. Like, that he didn't develop all this by himself. Mm. That he didn't, you know, sort of like a criticism that came against, like, Steve Jobs largely after he died was they like, oh, he didn't even know how to code, really. Like, he wasn't a coder. Like, that was the big criticism, that he didn't really understand the tech.
He understood how to
make it useful or something like that. And you kind of get the sense that, like, oh, you know, because he'll get, like, right up to the edge of, like, explaining, like, the brain, the biomechanical brain. And he's like, I couldn't even explain it to you. Like, he makes some excuse to not go into it. And it's like, that could be the movie, just like, yeah, we don't want a bunch of techno babble here. But it also, I like that there's a read on it of like, oh yeah, he kind of is a bullshitter.
There's definitely something with him thinking he's cooler than he actually is. Like,
or that he's smarter than he is. Yeah. The hubris that he's like, oh my God, this is, he goes, he says something about, like, this isn't mankind, this is, like, the history of God. And then later on he goes, remember when you said I was God? Like, he has this, like, revisionist thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, the thing that made me think of it was, talking about that painting, there's a scene where he has a Jackson Pollock painting. And he talks about, I don't remember what he says, but he talks about it in a way that kind of makes you go, I don't think he understands Jackson Pollock. Like, I don't think he understands what this is.
That's the scene where he dances and everything, right?
It's in the same place.
Okay.
the dance scene is so good. But it's just like this idea of the tech billionaire idiot, but it's done in a more subtle kind of way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he understands how to manipulate the AI, but maybe he didn't build it all himself, you know?
But it's in the details more than it's in, like...
It's more the subtext. And it might even just be the way I read it, but I like that it's there. Mm-hmm. impossible to read it that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you have anything else on Knives Out or Glass Onion?
I recommend it. Like, I'm not, again, I don't want to sound like I'm bagging on it. I think they're both great movies. And, you know, I'll recommend anything Rian Johnson does. Even something overlooked like The Brothers Bloom, I think is a fine early movie of his. But yeah, this is great. And it's a lot like, if you like his early stuff, what he did with Brick in taking that mystery, the neo or the film noir mystery style, and putting it in a modern high school. Like,
that's what you think this is?
I think it's not noir, but it is taking a different old timey mystery and putting it in a different updated setting. And I think it's right on track with what he does and what he does really, really well. And so, like, if you haven't seen these movies, I totally recommend them. And I recommend Nope. I recommend Pinocchio. You've given this huge shout out to Babylon, which makes me want to clear some time and go see it.
Because as I told you, it's a love letter to cinema.
Like, you know, and sometimes those movies, like, I get them, and sometimes they hit with me and sometimes they don't, but I've heard really good things about Babylon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that. The other one that is also supposed to be the love letter to movies was The Fablemans. Mm-hmm. And we had a hard time finding a showtime for that. We still have not seen it. Christy and I were going to go right when that was coming out. And
it kind of came and went.
Yeah. Like, it was like so fast. Again, if you're not a Disney movie, you're not going to be in theaters very long.
Nope. I think Babylon is out of theaters by the time we're recording this.
But, like, yeah, it's a sad... We could do a whole other show about the state of theaters, but...
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've talked about some great movies here.
I did want to touch on one more thing.
Hit it, man.
I did not tell you I watched this, but I watched this with Junior. This is a mini-series that you've been trying to get me to watch for a while.
Uh-oh.
Midnight Mass.
Is it Midnight Mass?
Did you watch it?
Oh, that's great, man.
Junior had seen the whole thing, and he wanted to watch it with me, and so he just sprung it on me, and I did not know what I was getting myself into.
It's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
A vampire story, where he thinks they're angels.
A humanity story.
Yes.
A religious story, a Catholic story. It's all of these things.
It explores everything brilliantly. In the smartest way,
yes.
I so much praise for that.
Great.
But I, like, ate it up so fast that now I, like, want to go back and slowly watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was such a well done show. And way better than the other show by that creator that I saw, the more recent one.
Midnight Club?
Yeah. That one was okay, and it actually has the two child actors, or the teenage actors,
okay,
who are in Midnight Mass. They're in that new show. And I don't know. This feels more human, and the Midnight Club was teenagers, so I get it, but it felt like adult drama, so it felt like melodrama coming from teenagers in a way. It didn't hit the same way.
Sure.
But this was like a profound miniseries. This was really good.
I think so as well. It's funny you just watch that because I have recently finished The Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
Which is also by Mike Flanagan.
Yes.
And that's a few years old. And I kind of missed that its first go around. Now that I've, like, Dr. Sleep has clicked in with me, Midnight Mass, and Hush, what's the other? Gerald's Game.
I haven't seen that one. I have seen Hush, though.
But it is like, I am on like this mission to watch all the Mike Flanagan series.
Okay.
Bly Manor is going to be my next one. I also follow him on TikTok. He's really funny. And he gives like writing advice, and it's just like,
I haven't seen him
write something
yet.
Awesome. You know, like, it's just like
thanks.
But he's really funny, and he's really cool on that app. But yeah, I'm glad you watched it, and I'm glad Junior, wow, he watched it twice. That's a lot of hours, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He loves church sermons, so every episode
I think it's a great spiritual show. I really do. I think there's some great spiritual themes to that.
Also the Muslim father and his whole storyline, but the speeches he gives and
of great portrayals of religious bigotry or intolerance coming from unexpected places, coming from the places you would, you know, coming from different directions,
but also interfaith, like,
yes, the coexistence, good relationships. And yes, yeah. I think it shows a lot of different dimensions of faith and, you know, good intentions gone bad, mm-hmm. and a lot of other things. Midnight Mass is great.
A misguided villain. I mean, I feel bad for him at the end. It's so good.
Maybe we should do a
we could do a whole mini series season if we're bold enough.
Ooh, man,
that might be too much.
We will talk about this, but yeah, because you're making me want to go rewatch Midnight Mass.
I think we should talk about it on the show.
Yeah, definitely. And I know JF Dubow is a big fan of that mm-hmm. that series. I have a few friends who are just big Mike Flanagan fans, so he's great. I think he's gonna be. That guy's gonna do all right.
Yeah.
No, I think he's one of those people that, like, people, you know, in the know who he, but he's gonna be one of those, I think, household names, I think, at some point. I think he's gonna be one of those guys who just
blows up. He's slowly creeping up there, because I've heard of all of his shows.
Right.
And then just people are now connecting the dots.
I think people are slowly kind of, like, I watched Hill House, you know, after a few years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think it's one of those things where people are slowly going to discover his stuff. And I think Midnight Mass, one of those things where I just tell everybody, you got to watch this thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Awesome. Awesome stuff.
We had a good break. We had a lot of watching. I watched
more stuff, man. But I can't think of it all. Those were the big ones because I just wanted to catch up on 2022 stuff. So you got a good DVD collection in there, or Blu-ray physical media collection in there, by the way.
I try to collect.
It's not huge, but you have good stuff. Like,
I try to collect the ones that matter to me, and the ones that I'm like not sure what streaming service. I never buy Disney movies on DVD because I have the streaming service.
It's all available. That's kind of how I am with physical media. I'm starting to buy more of it, but only I'm being like real selective about it, you know?
Yeah, that's how it should be done.
Except for books. I just keep buying fucking books. Yeah.
I have the same problem.
Yeah. It's a support group. Anyway, thank you everyone for hanging out and listening to us. I guess we talked mostly about Glass Onion, but
there's a lot going on in here.
What did you end your year watching? What did you watch over the holidays? You know, let us know. We are Austin and I have given our phones a diet, and we have removed most apps, social media apps from our phones, but we do still check in. You got a Twitter handle still, Aus?
I'm at the same one, Austin and Rude, but I no longer have it on my phone.
Yeah.
But I don't go in on it anywhere else, so I might not be checking it as frequently. But I'll see things on there.
Yeah, I'm at Phil Rude, and you can at me on Twitter or at PhilRude75 on Instagram. I still am checking in there. We'll have to set up a mailbox or something.
Something, yeah.
Because we are just doing less and less social media, and I know.
And I feel so much better. Like,
it really is. It's nice, man.
Having Facebook gone, like.
Yeah.
it's healthy.
Yeah, it really is. Facebook Marketplace is 90% of what I use Facebook for now. But yeah.
For guitars,
yeah. I look for art stuff on there every once in a while.
It's cool.
People selling off comic book collections and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you can still get a hold of us. You can tell us what you watched or what you think about what we watched. I would love to hear more people talking about Nope, because I think that movie was kind of criminally overlooked this year. I think it underperformed, and I think people who saw it didn't know what to make of it and just kind of moved on. But man, that movie blew me away.
I heard a lot of positive. I think it was saying, more in a bubble than...
It kind
of
was.
Everyone else was just kind of confused. Like, I thought this was going to be a spooky, scary movie. Right. What's going on? Why is it a Western?
I don't know.
Just confused people. But I liked it.
Movie's great. Yeah. And watch Pinocchio. I haven't heard nearly enough people talking about that movie either.
Because, that's true as well.
That movie's solid. Anyway, we will be back February 6th. We are dropping our first new episode of this season with...
That's right.
Austin's pick.
Bullet Train.
Bullet Train.
Another 2022 movie.
Yes, it is. And
one, a good one.
One that I missed this year. So I am looking forward to watching it. And I will be following that up with a companion movie to that for a double feature. So...
That's going to be fun to see what you
make. Make sure you look for that episode dropping on February 6th, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Austin, you want to read the credits?
Sure. We did it all ourselves.
There you have it. We'll see you February 6th on The Picture Show.
That's right. See ya.